do you shop?
I don't even know.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little more.
It's a favorite. It's a crowd favorite.
If you think about it, what else do you need in the world besides the Piazzatzna, Eli Cohn, Tzvi Friedman, and Steve Golaskov? It's like the Klal Yisrael dream team.
That's right.
It's everything you need for your Ruchnius and your Gashmius. Everything you need for your Ruchnius and your Gashmius. Incredible. Chevra, okay, a good night of Shabbos, everyone, and Shkok Tabeli for Mamish lifting us up. Eshkoch to Tzvi for the. What's tonight? I didn't even see. We have Strimal Kogel. I didn't see, but I don't see oil. I can't see the oil from here.
It's there. Always
if
there.
I can't see the oil from here, it's not Bill. Yeah, it's there.
It's there.
All right, see, beautiful.
Was that commercial? It's in there.
It's in there. Let's see. Tremendous Eshkoch.
Even John's like, whoa.
Wow. Steve, who are our sponsors tonight?
Hanan Block and myself.
Incredible. On Roth?
I have no idea.
Stop.
The Klal.
My Hebrew birthday.
Hebrew birthday. How old?
Hebrew bracha. ARP qualification.
ARP. Is that 50?
50, yeah.
50. Steve, behalf of the entire show, is Baruch Hu should give you Arichos Yamim Vishanim, Kom Shalos Libach Latova, Bracha, Achivla Sif Sosachim, Ilom Radai, Admev Esim Shanim Tovos. All right, Chava, let's continue. So we're picking up Emirat Hashem today on page 42. So last week, if you remember again, we started a beautiful piece in Os Yud Ches. The Piagesta was speaking about the power of music. Power of music. So you remember again, how the Piagesta was speaking about this idea that music, essentially, is the language of the neshama. That if a person wants the ability for the soul to become the dominant driving force, so it's music, it's Shira, the Piagetzna, again, we're not going to go through everything from last week, but the Piagetzna was speaking about, again, the transformative and cathartic power of music. But the Piagetzna says, you see many unholy people who go ahead and produce nice music. It's true. Shira by itself is not an ends. But Shira, when we're using the word also like song and music interchangeably, right? Because again, I think Reb Nechemya brought up last week, you know, the distinction between Shira with words versus a Nigun without words. So the Piagetzna is saying Shira is not an ends, but Shira is a means. Song is a means. Music is a means to unlocking dramatic Kedusha. So we're picking up on page 42. We left off in the middle of the paragraph. We left off the Chevon. So it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines down from the top, last word on the line. 10 lines down from the top, last word on the line, page 42, the Chevon. So we'll see, Piaget says something so beautiful over here. It says, the Chevon, Shanu Chavrasil Neshem Hashemi. We'll say, what's the point of this Chabura? Right, we start. When did we start? We started in Elul, right? Coming up on almost a year. Which is, we're right on target. I said 5 years for this safer. I think we're running ahead of schedule. Running a little bit ahead of schedule, actually. So I'll say, so what's the point? Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we trying to do? So what we're trying to do is to serve Hashem better. Like that's just what I'm trying to do with my. In general, like, what am I trying to do with my life? What am I trying to do? I'm just trying to serve the Ribono Shel Olam better. But I recognize that if I go at it alone, I could do X. If I got it with a Heilige Chevra like this, I could do X plus Y. There's so much more, right? Remember, again, working together with the Chevra to improve your relationship with Hashem is a force multiplier. He says, this is it. What's beautiful every once in a while is the Piagetzna kind of refocuses us on what our goal is. What's our goal? Well, so look at this line. I want my soul to rule my body. That's what I want. I'm not looking to negate my body, right? I'm not looking to abuse my body, to punish my body. There's a maisa that a chassid once came to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and he said, Rebbe, he went through the whole series of averas that he went ahead and he committed. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says to him, Sindhu, what are you going to do? So the guy says, I have it all figured out. First, I'm going to immerse in a freezing mikvah 3 times a day. Right, freezing river 3 times a day. Then I'm going to roll around in the snow. And then I'm going to walk around without shoes. Right? And Baal Shem Tov says, I don't understand. You committed averus and you have to punish your body? In other words, what the Rebbe was saying is, the goal is not to beat down the physicality. That's not the goal. The goal is to subdue it. Right? The goal is to rein it in. Too many of us live life and the body controls the soul. Our entire avoda is, I want my soul to be in the driver's seat of my life. I want my soul to have control over my body. What do I want? I want to just, I want to tie myself to the Kiddusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to be connected. I will say, you know, what does it mean to be connected? You know what ends up happening to so many of us? I give this mashal very often. That we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, you're great. You're really fantastic. I love you. But you know, I'm not ready to settle down. Right? I think maybe we should see other people. Right? I want to see kind of what's out there. I have commitment issues. And many of us, without even realizing in our spirituality, have commitment issues. I know that God is the right shidduch for me. It's not a shayla. Like, I know that a relationship, like David HaMelech said, Va'ani kirvas Elokim li tov. I know the best thing for me in life is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm just so afraid to commit. I'm so afraid to commit. Again, we're not going to get into this now, but people have commitment issues for all kinds of reasons. But at the end of the day, deep down, the reason I have commitment issues with God is because I don't think I measure up. Like, I don't think that I'm really worthy of having a relationship with Hashem. So meanwhile, says the Piyajetzna, what do I want? I want to tie myself to His Kiddusha. I don't want to be a platonic friend of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to be an episodic acquaintance. I want to tie myself to Him. You know what I want? You know what I want more than anything? I want to lose myself in Hashem. So isn't it like the most incredible thing? You know, sometimes you say things and I don't quite understand what it means. But I just know that I want it. I don't know what it means to lose myself in Hashem. But I know that I just want to lose myself in Hashem. I'm so tired of like always making the same mistakes. I'm so tired of always getting derailed. I'm so tired of always going down the wrong path for self-fulfillment. I just want to lose myself in the Ribono Shel Olam. That's all I want. Says the Piyajet, so how do you do it? How do you lose yourself in God? How do you attach yourself, tie yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you put your soul in the driver's seat of life? Says the Piyajetzna. L'chei nargila satzminu barina. Unegina shalavoda lashamayim. So the Piyajetzna says, you know how you do it? Through song. Through song. Now, I want to point out, Piyajetzna is coming at this with a bias. What's the bias? Number one, he's a chassid. He's a chassid. Right? I'm sorry?
Jewish music.
Of course, Jewish music. We're going to strike that one from the record, right? Is this the second? Yes. So we'll talk about other music. We'll say, so number one, the Piyajetzna is a chassid. Number two, the Piyajetzna was a child prodigy in both learning and music, in playing of instruments and composition of music. So obviously, again, you have to understand what the Piyajetzna is highlighting over here is this is his idea. In other words, you could see how many wouldn't agree with this. But the Piyajetzna says, if you ask me, how do you get to this level where you lose yourself in God, where you put your soul in the driver's seat? It's music. It's music. It's shira. It's song. Nargila says, "Mina barino unegina shlavola shamayim." Shabbos say, look what he writes. Lo shin etztarich lechaber nigunim chadashim. You don't have to make new music. Piyajetzna, I'm not talking about composing music. Kimo shelo nomar shemi sherotze lisameach esatzo b'yayin, tzarech lasos yayin megito dafka. But say, it's no difference, right? If I would like to have a nice bottle of wine, right? I want to have a little bit simcha, right? Again, nothing wrong with using a little bit of wine to create some simcha. You don't have to pick your own grapes, right? Make your own batch, ferment your own wine. What can you do? You could buy a bottle that somebody else made. Yeah. Same thing with music. You don't have to create something new in order to lose yourself in Hashem. Umisharotze la'ora es atzma ozu laso b'diburim. Same way, if I want to use my words to lift up another person and to inspire another person, I don't have to create any new words. I mean, I do often create new words. It happens usually early in the morning, right? Right? But Lamaisa, one does not have to create new words in order to express a sentiment. What the Piyajetzna is saying is, the same way you don't have to create new words to express an idea or sentiment, you don't have to create new wine to go ahead and be besimcha on a Shabbos and a Yom Tiv. You don't have to create new music in order to be able to lose yourself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and put your neshama in the driver's seat. What you need to inspire yourself through music already exists in the world. You don't have to be a mechadish. You don't have to come up with something novel. Bose, look what he writes. I'm sorry? You can even sing the reclaimed Hava Nagila. Good. Echeme, you should share that with you'll post it on the chat. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Good. Echeme, we'll tell you the rest of that story. But kach lecha eze tenua shel nigun. So we'll say, so says the Piyajetzna, take for yourself, look, we'll say the wording over here is very interesting. Take for yourself, what does tenua shel nigun mean? An action of nigun. Take for yourself some action of song. What does that mean? Look what the Piyajetzna writes. Hasev panecha lakir. Sometimes you know what you have to do? Turn your face towards the wall. I'm sorry? Well, before we begin the answer, right? He said, listen to this. He says, when he says, turn your face to the wall, it doesn't have to literally mean, what he means is like, Be alone. Be alone. Turn yourself to the wall. Or close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And think the following. Just close your eyes for a second. And just use your imagination that you are standing before the throne of Hashem. And imagine that you're standing before the Kisei HaKavod and you want to just say everything you need to say to Hashem. But however, sometimes the best way to convey something is not through the spoken word. Sometimes the best way to convey how you're really feeling is through song, is through nigun. A tune, a nigun, could capture feelings, could capture ideas that the spoken word cannot. And you will begin to feel your soul emerging from you with joy. So what's here with the Piagetsna saying? Just give yourself a couple of minutes alone. Turn to the wall. Close your eyes. Imagine I'm standing before the Kisei HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have so much to tell you. I have so much to share with you. I have so much to talk about with you. And if I'm suffering, pour out your heart in suffering. And if you're besimcha, pour out your heart with just incredible gratitude for all of the brachos that have been conveyed upon you. But what's the mechanism? What's the mechanism to pour out? Says the Piagetsna, choose your song. Choose your song. And allow that song to be the vehicle of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you do that, what's going to happen? You're going to find that you've awakened your soul. And you're going to find your soul emerging from you, bear nana, with joy. Listen to this. Sometimes you're going to be the musician who's playing the music before your soul to awaken it. Ma'at ma'at. Targish shenafshecha ischila kvar lenagim ba'atzma. And soon enough, you know what you're going to find? Your soul is playing the melody all on its own. Sometimes you have to awaken the soul with your nigun. Give yourself a little bit of privacy. Right? Close your eyes. Turn to the wall. Choose you're standing before the Kisei HaKavod. Pour out your heart. Choose the nigun that you're going to convey everything you're feeling right now to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you will see you will awaken your heart. You will awaken your soul. And when you begin to awaken your soul enough times, I'm going to use the word, the soul is woke. Not that kind of woke, right? Not that kind of woke. We stay away from that at all costs, right? That type of woke is the most asleep a person could be in this world, right? But Lamaisa, the soul is awakened. The soul is awakened. And suddenly, just say Bud Light. Just say Bud Light. Did I just have that?
Gosh,
all right.
He's got a lot
tonight. Piagetsna says that then when you go ahead and you begin to sing enough to the soul itself begins to lead the Shira. You have to wake it up, but then the soul, we'll say, again, I just want to point out, some of you may be thinking, that's fine, Shira does not do anything for me. And I will say, but that's okay, I just want to point out that there are many avenues of connection. And I do want to point out, the Piagetsna has not brought this up until page 42. So this 42 pages filled with a variety of different avenues, modes, and forms of connection. So by no means, in other words, a person might say, again, let's say there are people who for them music is everything. Music is everything. And then there are people who like, music is nice, but music does not stir me. Stir me. There's no right, there's no wrong. There's no right. We're wired in different ways to feel different things at different times. So the Piagetsna is appealing to those of us who for us music does something tremendous and dramatic. The Piagetsna says, okay, use it. Rabbi, remember again, it's the same way he spoke about the only type of people the Piagetsna is not talking to are people who like to be overly intellectual. Because the Piagetsna says everything we're trying to accomplish can't be done through the intellect. The intellect has to be shut off. This is through emotions. Remember again, we spoke about emotion. How do you channel emotion? So he's talking about now how to channel, go ahead, how to channel music. So we'll say last paragraph, page 42. He says, Chida ha'isilucha tamen anegina. He says a lot of times, we'll say when we look at music, ultimately, again, it's a chida. I'll say what's a chida. Chida is a riddle. Sometimes, like, you look at music or you listen to music, and I know that it has an effect, but I don't know why it has an effect. I don't understand what it is. Hakolos mahima, the different notes, alios, viridos. I don't know what you call it in musical terms. What do you call it? The high notes and the low notes. Is there a name? Is that it? High notes, low notes?
Rise and fall.
What is it?
The rise and the fall.
Right. Mahin. In other words, if you ask me, in other words, so what is it about? What the Pesach is saying is, because music is not an intellectual thing, although we spoke about intellectual music in last year, but because generally the impact that he's referring about with music over here is felt emotionally, somebody asks you, so tell me, how does music help you connect? What is it? Which note is it that gets you, right? Which composition? So he says, sometimes the notes are longer, sometimes the notes are shorter. So I'll say, what the Piagetta says, sometimes in life, it's not important how something works. What's important? What's important? That it works. That it works, yes.
So what if, like, a song that has Kol Isha, it works to get me, like, inspired?
It's the wrong kind of inspiration. It'd be the same way that if a piece of pork got you to feel great about God, right? When I feel full, I love to learn Torah. You're confusing what inspiration is. Inspiration that comes from an impure source is not inspiration. It might be something else. And it doesn't have to necessarily be something bad, but it's not inspiration to Kanishka Kosher. It can't be. Because if a quote-unquote inspiration comes from an impure source, then by definition, that's not bringing you any closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So, fine. So putting the Kol Isha aspect aside, I think last week or the last time we did this, if I recall correctly, Rabbi said that even like for a secular musical piece, that's something classical that may have been composed by somebody that's not Jewish or whatnot. And so somebody like secular, not necessarily like the pure source. So how can somebody in that situation...
I don't know. I think we use the word inspiration very loosely. I would be curious to know if the person saying they lose themselves in God when they hear a composition from Beethoven. I don't know. Maybe people do. I'm not, like I said, I gave the disclaimer in the last year. I'm not an appreciator of classical music. It's nice. To me, it does nothing. But maybe there are people that mamish feel like they are lost in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think you'd be hard-pressed to say, like, even English music, all kidding aside, like, are there tunes that could be inspirational? Mm-hmm. Are there words that, sure. Does a person, or could a person get to a level where they feel themselves lost in God from that? Maybe. You know, maybe there's some, but again, I would venture to say, it doesn't compare to music that comes from a Kadosh source. So I still think at the end of the day, because we're dealing with spirituality, because we're doing the connection, if the source is not pure, then you're not getting to what the Piagetzna is describing. And again, I said it tongue-in-cheek, but I really think it's the same thing. You know, I learn well on a full stomach. So I'm going to have, you know, my cheeseburger before I come to learn Daf Yomi, because now once I have a full stomach, I can concentrate. What? And it's good. The logic is there because, hey, I'm full. So I don't have to think about food while I'm learning. I can focus more. You can focus more. But do you think that your Torah is going to be any value when the way you're getting there is through something impure? And I think music is that same thing. And I think because music is so highly emotional, I think music is probably the most spiritually volatile thing you could have, right? And if it comes from a source that's impure, I think not only does it not inspire, it could ruin. And it could ruin in ways, and you can see this, by the way, well, whatever, it's not our topic, but I think that's yeah.
I hate to interject. One of the things that brought me back to Judaism after like 35 years was memories of going to shul with my grandfather, to a shul where they sang everything. And I loved it. I loved to sing. I didn't know what the heck I was singing. But that's what brought me back, the memory of the shir.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. And never, that's not an interruption. That's exactly. I'm sorry?
Is it the source of the music? Because there's a lot of Jewish groups who are taking Goyish music
Yeah, so again, I don't want to. I don't want to get. I don't want to like comment on acapella groups or like things. You know, other things like that. People or yeah. Let's focus. Let's focus on this and let's again, Chavra. Let's stay the course and right. The course that we're doing is we're doing Kaddish music. We're doing Kaddish music. If you have a question about whether or not the music is Kaddish, it's probably not Kaddish, right? In other words, like if you're not sure if it's kosher, it's probably not kosher, right? If you're not sure if it's Kaddish, it's probably not Kaddish. We'll go with that as our guiding light. So let's go right there. He says as follows. So a lot of times, again, I don't know what it is about the music that moves me. He says, but yet here's what I know. We have to write note. And I will say again, going back to Nehemiah's comment last year, not the Bud Light one, but the one from last year, right? So. It's a gift and a curse that I hear everything. It's like both. So, Salamaisa, it could also be with the words. Remember, again, we're not really getting into Nigun versus Shira with words because different things do things with different people. But the idea is that with the right words or with the right note or with the right Nigun, suddenly, again, my soul has ascended to the heavens. And once my soul gets to the heavens, well, I'll say it doesn't just visit, like it's drawn in. The heavens wrap their hands around my soul. And I will say, sometimes the ability to experience a full body spiritual experience only comes through music. It's an incredible, incredible thing. You know, when you learn a beautiful piece of Torah, so the truth is your mind is impacted, your heart is impacted, but the truth is Shira, I will say, no, have you never heard a nigun, a song that mamish like sends shivers up and down, like you feel different. You could feel like you're floating, right? You could just feel like you're suddenly not held down by anything in this world. That's unique by Shira. V'derech HaKolos Olim, page 43. V'tnua de menagna bo nersochim. Nechrosim. So he's employing very poetic Lashon over here. But the bottom line is that the Nigun just has the ability to literally catapult me to the celestial sphere. So we'll say, now watch this. First paragraph on page 43. So we'll say, listen to this. Sometimes, this is incredible. So sometimes, look at the words. Yesh lepam, there are sometimes. Sometimes I end up dialoguing with Hashem, and I'm not even like fully aware that the dialogue has begun. He says, so again, often when I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, often my dialogical connection begins with my physical needs. Right, that's if you think about it, like what we often utilize our conversation with Hashem Baruch Hu for most is ultimately what do I need physically, parnasa, refua, whatever else I need. He says, "V'yosir teitzei nafshecha." I'm sorry, aval kol kama shetisragish. But the more the soul becomes awakened and the soul becomes feeling, "V'yosir teitzei nafshecha minartika lo'uf el al." Right, and I will say, the more the soul leaves the nartik is the case. Right, we spoke on this before. Often the soul is behind the mechitza shel barzel, is behind that wall, and the nigun has the ability to break down the wall, take the soul out of the case, lauf el al, to go ahead, right, and go ahead and literally ascend el to shamayim al on the wings of the nigun, b'midozu tazov es haolam. We will say, listen to this. Through shira, person has the ability to leave this world. I'll say, is that not incredible? And you know it. If you've felt it, you've felt it. And if you haven't felt it, I give you the bracha that you should feel it bekarov. That is the power of a nigun. A nigun can make you feel, just for a little bit of time, I'm not of this world. I'm not here. Yes.
I'm understanding correctly. I think what the Rav said earlier is something that he wants to speak to everyone except for people who have only issues in an intellectual sense. Is that really what he's saying over here as well? In other words, the power of the nigun is that you're not using your mind.
Absolutely.
You're not thinking about it, which is why also, going back to what the Rav said about my comment about the words, if you think about the words, you're using your head.
You're not, correct.
If you're not thinking about the words.
That is correct. Remember, what the Piagetzna has kind of told us from the beginning of the Sefer, is, as crazy as it sounds, and as like dramatic as it sounds, the true path to connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins with shutting off the intellect. It's amplification of the emotion, amplification of feeling, and the shutting off of the intellect.
Rabbi, did
he? Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't understand that exactly. How is it?
To use it. No. He's saying there are times to use it. There are times to use it. When you're looking, when you're... Nechami, think about this for just a moment. Think about any relationship you have in life that has deep and profound love attached to it. How much of it is intellectual and how much of it is emotional? I'll just tell you, my daughter and my son-in-law were over tonight with my new grandson, Baruch Hashem, Yehoshua Akiva, and I was holding him in my arms. We're learning a little Gemara together. He's a prodigy, I'm telling you. He's absolutely brilliant. He was slugging it up. He was great. And I looked down at him and I said, I love you more than anything in this world. I love you. And he's probably thinking to me, right? He's like, dude, you don't even know me. You don't even know me, right? I just got to the world 11 days ago, right? 11 days ago. There's absolutely no intellectual underpinning to that love. Can I tell you, well, you know, the truth is, he's my grandson, the son of my daughter, and my son-in-law, and now Baruch Hashem, I have a grandson and a granddaughter. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you really only Mekayim period of a Rivya, not with a son and daughter, with a grandson and a granddaughter. So now for the first time in my life, I can say, I'd be Mekayim the Mitzvah period. So I could go through all of that. I'm like, is that it? No. That's not it. That has absolutely nothing to do with the love I feel towards this child. Nothing to do with it. And the truth is, it's not just this child, it's all of my children. Like, it's not, and I think even it's a spouse. It's not intellectual. Are there intellectual reasons why I love you? Sure. But is that when I have this feeling of love, is it something that's happening here? No, it's happening
here.
You're
not quantifying.
I'm not quantifying it, right? I'm not. So I think if you look at, again, so does that mean intellect doesn't play a role? Of course not. In other words, we have a whole body of talk. Chevra, I just want to point out, to Nechemia's point, sitting here learning the Sefer, you could not sit and learn the Sefer without what? Without what? Without intellect. So obviously, again, when we speak about shutting off the intellect, we're seeing that a little bit. What was that?
Just some whiskey.
Right, that's
some whiskey. Right. Some whiskey, yes. I think for now on, if I don't hear the comment, I'm not going to ask to have it repeated. I think that might be, maybe that's like the theme I'm picking up on over here. Yeah. So I'm just pointing out, like, again, so of course the intellect plays a role in everything. But the ones that the Piagetna says is, and that's why his lashon is, you want to lose yourself in God? Who doesn't want to lose themselves in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's not intellectual. That has absolutely nothing to do with your mind, your intellect. It has everything to do with your heart and your emotion. Let's finish the paragraph.
Does this have to connect to...
One second. Give me 1 second. Let me just want to finish this point. He says like this, B'midazu tazov es ha'olam. Ultimately, again, a person leaves the world through negina. Ome omek libcha titzak nafshicha b'tfila tohora tfila la'ashem kigon eila. So we'll say, he gives an example, like the type of tefillah. He gives it in Yiddish, but at the end of the day, the tefillah is Yibono Shel Olam, in Himmel, Ha'avrachmanes Eif Mir. Hey, essentially what he says is, the way the tefillah, so we'll say, the way these connections often begin, is they begin in distress. That's how they begin. Because we'll say, on the most basic level, our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes about because of an inherent need that we have, right? I am deficient. As much as I like to think that I'm self-sufficient, I'm not self-sufficient. So the springboard for a relationship with Hashem is, you have everything, I don't. And everything I need in life, I have to get from you. So the way that first connection begins is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm in a state of existential distress, even if everything is okay right now, right? Let's say, Baruch Hashem, maybe right now, at 9:05 on Thursday night, I don't have any problems. I know that could change by 9:06. And I know that what the state today is no guarantee for what tomorrow's going to bring. So there's always this constant existential angst, this need. He goes on, skip to the end. He says, Maschil bi Yeshua b'chol yarem shalom, u'misayim b'tzakal atzil mimakom nefiloso. Ultimately, again, so I start by with a supplicatory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me. Save me. V'chein ki yotze ba'elu, va'al yiktonu ba'enecha diburim kigon elu, ki mechzal anaf Hashem. Now, we'll say, sometimes we think to ourselves, but 1 second, really, that's what I'm using my connection with? So we'll say, let's play this out. So the Piagetna says, right now we have a continuum. Take a couple of minutes. Piaget says, turn your face to the wall. Decide what niggin you're going to sing. What song you're going to sing. imagine yourself before the Kisya Kavod. And when you're before the Kisya Kavod, what do? Spill your heart. Spill your heart. The Piaget's, I'm going to tell you how it's going to start. It's going to start with, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. I'm in trouble, this, that. And then the Piaget says, you're going to think to yourself, so petty. What is God, an ATM? You're just asking him for stuff? So the Piaget says, don't downplay those tefillos. Because when a Yid asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, what he's saying is, Ribono Shel Olam, I can't do this on my own. And when I say this, this is life. I can't do life on my own. I need you. I need you. And that is the highest form of relationship. When they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't go at it on my own. I need you. Now, I don't want to end there. I don't want to end there. But that is an incredible place to start. And remember again, the Piaget says, what happens afterwards? What happens afterwards? So now, through Negina, I'm awakening the soul. I will say, after enough times that I actively awaken the soul, what happens? What happens? The soul is awakened, and it wakes me. It goes into the driver's seat. It takes control. It drives the ship. It directs my life. It becomes the dominant force. How? Through awakening, through Shira. Mary, what were we going to say?
Maybe he answered the question. I was just wondering, is there an inherent connect? Does there have to be a mitzvah connected to it for this spiritual process to happen? If I go to a kumzitz and I'm just in it, then I'm doing a spiritual.
It sounds like you just need the kumzitz. Now, remember, Jose, what we spoke about two shiurim ago was, remember, the challenge with inspiration is what? Is what?
Fleeting.
Right? Fleeting. So that's where the mitzvahs come in. Right, so in other words, this is like the booster cables. You know, this is how things get started. The problem we often have is we get the inspiration and we don't plug it into anything. So then, of course, it just simply dissipates. It just goes away. So the mitzvah is there. But what he's describing over here is just the power of Shira by itself, just as Shira. Part B is after I awaken the soul. Okay, now I'm awakened. Now what? Now what? Now what should I do? I saw you had your hand up before.
Oh, I was going to tell. It's more of a story. Did Rebbe ever hear the story of Baba Melody from Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust?
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Let's go weiter. Kevra, let's go a little bit weiter. Let's go a little bit weiter. We have a couple of minutes. It's a beautiful story. Let's go a little bit weiter. Yesh L'Pamim. Shabbos, let's just do two more lines, then we'll stop for tonight. I want to be kind. I apologize. We'll have to figure out now with Mincha Ma'ariv exactly like when to start everything.
We could do an early Mincha,
but he's going to have to make a couple of extra kugels if the Chevra by Mincha Ma'ariv catches a whiff over here.
No one came tonight and tomorrow.
Oh, there's a wedding. Oh. Two weddings tonight.
I know, because I bought them.
So like, and there's a lot of guys in the shir who are there. They asked me to save them kugel. I said no. I said, yeah, getting your shaman kugel. But I gave them a thing of oil. I said, this will be enough. So I say, let's do one more line. This is the Yishal Pamim. Let's just do this piece. Yishal Pamim. Shlo yisoru b'cha diburim v'lo targish shum bakasha. U'mikol makom targish ezer gasha. She efshal l'cha letzayir ma'ata margish. Actually, we'll say, we'll stop over here for tonight. It's already 10 after 9. We'll stop here. So we're going to spend one more week in Meretz Hashem on Shira. We'll finish up this piece next week. But again, Piagetsna leaves us with just an incredibly overwhelming and inspiring insight as to how to go ahead and awaken. And I want to be clear. This is the awakening. This is the awakening, right? This is not the end. This is the beginning of the process. To lose yourself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To go ahead and feel your neshama taking control over the direction of your life. Once I start, the Shah then becomes, as Rameir brought up, what do I plug it into? Right? And as Nehemiah brought up, so where does the intellect, you can't live life with a turned off intellect your entire life. That's going to be terribly detrimental. So where does the intellect kick back on? We're going to see all of that. But at least I will say, finally now, we have a departure. So I will say, this is our avodah for this week. Our avodah for this week is to carve out a couple of minutes to be by yourself and choose your nigun. And I will say, I want to point out, by the way, you don't have to sing. In ours, you'll say, well, I have a terrible voice. I don't really want to sing to myself. That's the most uninspiring thing that I could possibly do. I'll say, so I'll tell you like this. What you could do is you can go ahead and you can put on your earbuds or your earphones and pull up something that moves you. But the chap is be alone. The chap is be alone. And close your eyes and imagine yourself sitting before the Kisei HaKavod. And use that nigun as the opportunity to pour your heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's going to start with simple petitional things. like the Piaget said, don't underestimate the power of simple petitional asks and their ability to forge relationship. That's how I've all did the Sikha was saying. Yes, we should be Zocha. We should homework. It was always homework. Halavai, we should be Zocha and Mirat Hashem to come back next week. It's all of us inspired from our Shira. And Mirat Hashem, we're going to continue. We have one more week on this section of Shira. Mirat Hashem, right? We have Shira next week, right? Because it's not Shavuot. Oh, exactly. Yeah, Shavuot is the following week, right? Good. So Mirat Hashem, Shira next week. We'll finish up Shira. Vosai, Shkoyach. Shkoyach, Shkoyach.
Yeah, I think like a 2.5 hour cast. Yeah. At one point, Ruby Harrison.